John chapter 1. Oh, let's begin in verse 10. Thank you, Father, for your word. It is truly something that brings us to a place of calibration and centeredness and stability in a confusing world. Maddie just sharing about deception and the confusion that comes with that sometimes, and even challenging the believer and sending us into a tizzy with the lies and the twisting of things. But your word always brings us back, Lord God. It is a great calibrator. It's a great centering. I thank you for wrapping around our waistline, Lord, that belt of truth, Lord, to keep us centered. Thank you, Father. Amen. So in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So we're talking about a who now, and that who is Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, born in a manger, born of the Virgin Mary, his stepdad, Joseph. These are the beginnings of his being on this earth, but not his beginning. John takes us all the way back to the very beginning, before time even began, and there he was. There Jesus was with the Father, and it says he was with him, and he was him. He was God. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power, that's the right, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's where we ended up last week, talking about the significance of the name of Jesus Christ. And it's not like there's this magic to a name, like pronouncing the name of Jesus, and then you can find yourself getting wrapped up in, well, maybe I should say Yeshua, as more accurate way of what would have come out of Mary's mouth as she was calling Yeshua to come to dinner, calling Jesus. It's not that physical vibration of that name and the formulation of some type of sound in that way that describes his name in that way. His name is descriptive. It means Savior. We know that it's not a unique name. Joshua in the Old Testament is the same name, Yeshua, meaning salvation. So the name isn't about that physical property of the name. It's the significance of the person of the Son. God the Son. It's the significance of who he is. The name. It's very specific. It takes us from this orb of confusion. Again, Maddie talking about the twisting that's going out there. This false light that's going out there. All of the stuff. There's plenty of it. We were just dealing with it last week. Talking about these things that seem like they're of God. And they are not of God at all. It's a appearance of light. But it's actually darkness. It's a disguise. No wonder, no coincidence, we are talking about the name of Jesus Christ. And it's the very specific person of God who is the way, the truth, and the life. It isn't an admixture, it isn't a stew, it isn't Campbell's soup of this, that, and the other thing. It isn't embracing everything and then finding you have nothing except darkness. It is very specific. It's a narrow gate. When we enter that narrow gate, we find that it is a straight way, but it opens up to freedom like we've never experienced before. Not freedom to sin, not freedom to indulge the flesh. That is so boring. That is so shallow. It is so unlasting and so temporary. I'm talking about a freedom that brings you into a place where I'm not in this jail of being jealous or angry at my wife anymore. I'm in a freedom where I can actually love her genuinely. It's not forced. That's the kind of freedom I'm talking about. That's the kind of freedom that comes from the Son. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what it means in the name of Jesus Christ to be saved. He is the door. He is the bread from heaven. He is the everlasting one. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for that truth and setting us free and keeping us away from the entanglements of the confusion that's out there. He is the name above all names. Let's take a look at Revelation 19. We did read that last week. I'm going to break it apart a little bit this morning. focusing on the name of Jesus now. Verses 12 through 16 of chapter 19 in Revelation. His eyes were as a flame of fire. You're going to look into these. You're going to look into the eyes of Jesus someday. All your worries, anything that is clinging on from this earth is going to be jettisoned. It's just going to dissolve. And not a second, not less, not a millisecond, not even, it's just going to go. It's going to be gone. The flame of fire in his, just his eyes, looking in the eyes of God. Woo! Man! His eyes were as a flame of fire. You're going to look into those eyes someday, I promise you. And it's going to burn away any chaff, any junk that doesn't belong. So don't even be concerned about that. All that stuff is going to burn away. It's going to be the final burn away. And what's left, that precious ruby, that precious diamond, those things that were wrought of God in you are going to continue forward. We'll all go through that process. A painless process, a loving process of looking into the eyes of your Savior. Flame of fire. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he had his name written that no man knew but he himself. There's number one. There's his name, number one. Well, we don't know what it is. Okay, he knows what it is. That's important. His eyes were a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, a name written that no man knew but he himself. This one brings me to at least speculating or wondering and praying about why he has a name that nobody knows. The thing that comes to mind is that language fails this word. So if you're caught up in the Yeshua, you're caught up in the Jesus or saying his name perfectly or Father God and ending everything and all of this, language fails this particular name. It speaks to the infinite nature of his name. It's a name that's spoken and it can't be contained by the volume of this universe. Okay, so there's something awesome about this name. The Jews would practice a name that they couldn't say. There was no values to it. They would just say the word. They would just say, we're referring to God. We're referring to God. Because he has a name that can't be contained. It can't be pronounced. So still today you'll see writings where they'll have the spelling of God, or maybe you have a translation that'll have G with an asterisk and a D, you know, just to give the indication that it's an unpronounceable, infinite nature, awesomeness that we're going to experience someday just by being in his presence. Do you believe in that name? I do. I believe in that name of Jesus that I don't even know. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, it says there. And his name is called the Word of God. This, of course, brings us back to, ties us to where we are in John chapter 1. The name we were introduced to, the Son of God, is the Word. And before time began, there was the Word. He was with God, and he was God. Speaking to him existing in a relationship with the Father in the Spirit, which will also be in chapter 1. We'll get to that today. This is the word that created voice boxes even. Your voice box and mine. Language even. The ability to think and to formulate words. This morning, Asher was encouraging his little sister to say Dada for Father's Day. So he was right down on the floor. She was doing her flying nun thing. She gets on the blanket on the floor and everything's up in the air. And she just flies there. And he got right down and got in her face and cupped her little chin. And he was coaching her. Say, Dada. Say, Dada. And she did. She did a few times. Awesome. Do you believe in his name being the Son? The Word of God? I do. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in one God. Let's continue in Revelation 19. And the armies which were in heaven, not done describing the name of God, one is indescribable, unknowable, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We sang that today. And out of the mouth goes a sharp sword and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Hey, leave space for God to take care of vengeance and all of that. It is not your job. It is not our job to exact vengeance on this world, to revenge. You simply leave space for God to do that. You trust Him in that area. And He treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And He has on His vesture, here's another name, on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A lot of people will justify tattoos with that verse. You can do whatever you want, I guess, with that idea. But the more important thing is the name of Jesus there, being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you believe in His name today? Do you believe that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you believe that He is the Word of God? Do you believe that He has a name that cannot be contained in this universe? It's unknowable. Do you believe in His name? Do you believe in the Son? Do you know that you have a right because of that belief to claim yourself as a son or daughter of the living God? That you're invited into the fellowship with the Father because of the Son coming to this earth, because of the Word becoming flesh? And we'll continue to read that here. Back to John chapter 1, verses 14 through 34. Fasten your seatbelts. Thanks for the water, Asher.
Need it.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. This is John, the disciple, speaking of the Word, the Son of God coming, and Him being physically present with Jesus. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. He saw the multiplying of the loaves. He saw Him touch the leper. He saw Him heal the harlot and cast out the demons. He saw Jesus' heart break for Lazarus and Him tear up and cry out because of the death and destruction all around Him and the beautiful creation that He made, it being tarnished with sin and destruction, the tears now flowing. He saw the glory of God in the humility of Christ. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten of the Father. The only begotten of the Father. That's the uniqueness of the Son. We don't project our sonship and our family towards God. We take that and project it to us, and we learn from the Son and the Father, and we bring that into our family relationship. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." You can imagine the law being just like the skeletal. You've seen barns being raised or houses being built, and you see the framework and you know what's happening. You see something taking shape. The law was given, and it's the framework of something. It wasn't the full embodiment. It couldn't save anybody. Jesus stepped into that framework, and He fulfilled that framework. He fulfilled the law. He became that house, that living body to which we're all attached. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. No man has seen God at any time. There's been different brushes, and God with Abraham, you know, and God with Moses, you see the different things where just like the tail end, kind of like this, the glory just kind of like passing. Those type of brushes with God, anything else would have just vaporized human beings. So the only one that's really seen the full glory of God is Jesus Christ, is the Son, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared Him. We know that He's at the right hand of the Father. And we see here that He's at the bosom of the Father, the breast of the Father, the chest, the heart of God. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, "Who art thou?" And He confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked Him, "What then?" This is people talking to John the Baptist. Verse 21, "Art thou Elijah?" And He said, "I'm not." "Art thou a prophet?" And He said, "No." And they said unto Him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" People love to stick you on a shelf and slap a label on you and throw you on the shelf. I don't know whether it's a comfort thing, but as human beings, we seem to do that. Who are you? What are you? What's your occupation? Okay, you're of this nature. I'm going to put my label on you, and you will live in that label for the rest of your life. That's how I'll look at you. We need to be careful not to do that. We need to allow our brothers and sisters to bloom and flourish in the glory of God, in the direction of God, and never put people under some type of label that way. And I don't know why we do that, but we do. And this is happening here to John the Baptist. Who are you? Let's get you defined. Let's get you. We do it in botany and biology all the time. I took a lot of courses in that. Everything's got to be identified. Phylum, class, order, species. Okay, and you got the Latin name. Everything's in particular. And let's dissect John the Baptist. Let's figure out what his game is. Let's not. Let's see what God is doing. He said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness." I love that. I love that type of answer. Jesus would give that type of answer so often. Just not playing into the hands of humanity and the things that we do. Just blowing the minds of people. "I'm a voice crying in the wilderness." Well, what's that? Do you go to seminary for that? What are your qualifications? "I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. As said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked Him and said unto Him, Why baptize thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet," the one that Moses said a prophet would come after. John answered then, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you, who you know not. He it is, who comes after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes laces I am not worthy to unloose." I love the humility of John the Baptist. It's a reflection of the one he's representing, Jesus Christ. The humility, "I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness." We don't need titles, folks. We don't need fancy titles. We don't need uniforms. We don't need to be fancy. We simply need to reflect the love and glory of God, to be grace and truth in this world. To have that humility, which is the most beautiful thing. Look at the magazine racks. No, don't look at them. At the store, checking out. The representation of the beauty of this world is not beautiful. It's a fading thing. The beauty, true beauty, is the beauty of the humility of Christ and His people. I see that here. His shoes, laces, "I'm not even worthy to unloose." That's the lowest of low. That's a servant's duty to untie your shoes, wash your feet. So he's pointing to, "I'm not even worthy to be your servant." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is He whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, this is the account of John. This is his testimony. We're going to look at a few testimonies today. We're going to look at John the Baptist. We're going to look at Simeon, and we're going to look at Anna's testimony. And John bare record. This is his testimony. This is what's on his gravestone, his epitaph. This is his life story. This is the significance of John the Baptist, the record bearing saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Talking about the time where he baptized Jesus Christ, he came out to the water. Other gospel accounts, we won't go there to give more detail to that. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. This is the Word of God. This is the name that can't be spoken. It's infinite. It can't be contained in the natural. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the light. This is the one that's full of grace and truth. This is the promised one. This is the Son of God. I bear record. The fulfillment for John the Baptist was to see the Holy Spirit, which was prophesied. This would be the sign. This would be the sign that you'll know this is the Messiah. The Holy Spirit descending upon him and abiding upon him. Even before John the Baptist, we'll see testimonies to the same Messiah. Thank you, Jesus. Before we go there, we're going to talk about the third one that has been introduced, the third person, the Holy Spirit. Still in chapter 1, entering the stage here of our thought and mind is the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Spirit, the three main characters here in chapter 1, the three supreme characters. Father, Son, and Spirit. The Spirit reveals the Son. The Son reveals the Father. For love, the Father gave his Son. The Son gives us his life so the Holy Spirit can reveal the love of God in us. For love, the Father gave his Son. And we know of Gethsemane, he yielded to that. The Son gives us his life so the Holy Spirit can dwell in us and reveal the love of the Father. It begins with the love of the Father, and it ends with the love of the Father. It's a very simple gospel story. For love, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We're familiar with that. We'll be in there in chapter 3. For love, the Father gave his Son. The Son gave us his life. He freely gave it in order to give us the Holy Spirit, which is shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5:5. The love of God brings us back to full circle. The purpose of the sending of the Son was love. And it bears love in us. We sang it this morning. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, Lord. I am forever yours. Mountains high or valleys low, does it matter? Are you going to quit when the valley's lower than you thought it would go? Thank you, Lord, for the modern day psalmist. Thank you for the singers from the Word of God here. But also for the modern-day psalmists that are bearing their hearts in this way. Mountains high or valleys low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. Quite a process there to get love in your and my heart, to get love perfected. Where it was distorted before, where I couldn't love my wife outside of jealousy and fear, aggravation, what are these weird things that come up? The contempt of the familiar, where you stop appreciating people that you live with and you take them for granted. What is this garbage? It is sin. It's absolute garbage. I hate it. I hate when I feel like that. I hate when the old nature extends itself in that way. I absolutely hate it. I despise it. I hate it with a vengeance because it produces absolute nastiness. I want that crucified and I want to go forward in this perfect love and love my wife. Yeah, but she did this and she said that and she didn't clean my socks and all this baloney. God, replace that, all those things that the devil is prodding with a true love that is from you, God. And I'm going to stand up here and tell you that He blesses those that pray that prayer, that ask for that love, that Holy Spirit. How much more will the Father give you the Holy Spirit? That Holy Spirit is going to shed abroad in your heart a love like is complete, that's perfect, that knows no fear, that knows no bounds, that knows no country, that knows no limits. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing that possibility that I could love like a true child, like a true son, like a true child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for inviting me in to the brotherhood, to the family of God. Thank you, Lord. The Word became flesh. So to make this all possible, it's all part of the process. The Word had to become flesh. It had to. If there was any other way, I'm sure God would have done it. There is only one way, Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh, not just Word, as in truth, as in wisdom and understanding good and evil, not Word just as in life, as in eternity, meaning and purpose, not Word just as in way, a path or a direction, but Word as in who was with God and who was God, becoming flesh, dwelling among us. That's the truest sense of what Word is. The Word of God is a who? Jesus Christ. As we follow Jesus, we find that He is a way. He's a path. He's a direction. As we follow Jesus and hear His voice, we find that He is life, that He's eternity, that He gives meaning and purpose. As we follow and hear Him and stay at His feet and soak in His presence, we find that He brings us wisdom and understanding. Thank you, Lord, for being the Word, a living Word that probes us, Lord God, as the ultimate ultrasound of this universe. Day and night, the sound goes out. The lines of God go out. Day and night, you can't escape. There is nowhere you can go. You can't go to the across the sea and escape this ultrasound that's penetrating this earth, that's revealing the sun all the time. The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal the Son. The Son's job is to reveal the Father. Do you have a problem with that? I fully accept all of that. I fully accept who you are, God. Infinite and one. I thank you for the example that you set in heaven, Lord God, that can be brought down in my relationships down here. I thank you for blowing my mind all day long, Lord God, with your creatures and your creation. Your presence, Lord God, your truth. John is bearing witness, John the Baptist, and also John the disciple of the Son of God, the only begotten. I want to touch base, if I have time this morning, in Luke chapter 2 with a man called Simeon and a woman called Anna. Also bearing record to Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 25. I thought it was an ice cream truck going by. I got excited. Oh, those are good memories. Ice cream truck coming up in the neighborhood. Simeon, bearing record to the Christ. Before I read his testimony, let me preface it with this. In our search for significance, and dads, fathers, men, sometimes you might struggle with this. I'm sure women do as well. But since it's Father's Day, I'll pick on the guys. In our search for significance, purpose, and meaning, sometimes great meaning, don't miss Simeon and Anna's testimony. Dads that are caught up in your career, don't lose the forest through the trees. What does that mean? We'll find out. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. Was he a man that you'd drive by and you'd see mowing his grass with his socks pulled up and his loafers on? I don't know. He was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Consolation of Israel, and a title for the Messiah to come, the promised one. A comfort would come with that. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Holy Ghost revealing Jesus. Jesus reveals the Father. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in child Jesus, Mary and Joseph, Joseph being a stepdad, to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thou servant depart in peace. I can die now according to thy word. I'm done. I've seen it. I've seen the promise of God. I've seen the Messiah. My whole life, my significance, my purpose and meaning has been fulfilled. Can you imagine if your whole life was to, you know, was centered around just opening the door for one person? At one point in your life, you had a divine appointment. It is hot out there. To, you know, just to, sometimes I think about that. It's like, God, did you put me on this earth just to be there for that one person, just to help them up from falling or stumbling, or, you know, just this little tiny thing? And I wonder, and I said, and I asked myself, is that enough? And I know that it's more than enough. God, thank you for this life and just that whatever it is that you put me down here for. Not just to fill my belly and to experience pleasure in different ways and to please myself. What is that? But to have a calling from you, Lord God, that's significance. That's purpose and great meaning. To hold that baby Jesus for Simeon. To take him up in his arms. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? He knew it. The Holy Ghost knew. It gave him that revelation that you're going to see Jesus. You're going to see the consolation of Israel. It's going to come walking through that door someday. You're going to be able to behold him. Did he know he was going to be a baby? Did he know anything of the details? The Holy Ghost told him that day, though, this was it. This was him. He took up that baby in his arms. He said, I could die now. I can go. My life has been fulfilled. I don't need a 401k. I don't need a 501k. I don't need anything. This is it. I can go to heaven and dwell with God for eternity. I simply was to be here to receive Jesus, to prophesy over Mary and Joseph. And that was the fulfillment of my calling. Can it be that simple? Can that be the sum of somebody's life? That's exciting to think about. In our search for significance and purpose and great meaning, find the significance in something so seemingly tiny. Find the hugeness in that, in Simeon's story. He took him up in his arms and blessed God. Oh my goodness, the richness of the moment. His heart. Wow, his eyes. Just gazing upon that Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord. I only had one moment in my life that possibly got even close to this. And I asked God to share in my holding of Tony. I just said, God, do you know how wonderful this is? Just being in my silly self. Just, God, do you know how wonderful this is, holding this little guy? Do you know how wonderful it is, God? Do you really know? I want you to know. I want you to just feel what I'm feeling right now. I want you to know how wonderful this little Tony is. I want you to know, God. And 2 weeks later, he just took over my body. And I didn't even know. It was a day at the park. And we were just doing what we normally do, playing in the sand and getting dirty, having fun. And on the way back, I'm carrying Tony. And I didn't even know I was on this earth. I didn't even feel my feet. And I knew it was God at that point. He had wrapped around me. And he just answered my silly prayer just to feel that love that I had for my son. I thank you, Lord, for that experience. I thank you, Lord God, for the reality of who you are. I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit that reveals who you are and that you reveal the Father. God Almighty, may we enjoy this love and partake in it this morning, God. The simplicity of these testimonies are awesome, Lord God. They're so humble, but they're so deep, they're so rich, they're so infinite. Thank you, Lord God. I cannot see the pages anymore. We'll pick up with Anna next week. Thank you, Lord. You could read ahead if you want. Great testimony, a prophetess of God. Thank you, Jesus Christ, similar to Simeon's. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I would ask for these people here in front of me a special blessing today, that they would be able to sit in your presence, just simply to sit at your feet, Lord God, and have their minds blown of your love, of who you are. Thank you, Father God, that we have this opportunity to gather around this powerful agency of Scripture, Lord God, and to behold that you do indeed come in the volume of the book. It is written of you, every bit of it. I thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. My heart swells with gratitude, Lord God. The things that are about to unfold, the things that are about to break through, Lord Jesus Christ, the people that have been waiting upon you, the Annas, the Simeons, Lord God, they're about ready to embrace, they're about ready to behold your glory, God. But we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bring those breakthroughs soon. Thank you, Father God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Help us just to open our hearts now as we finish in song today. Amen.
I cannot see if the storms abide.